All right, back at it, folks. Let's see if we can't get through numbers 4 and 5 on page 4 of the purple sheets. And Jose, if you want to explain what that we're looking at.
So number 4, essentially it's this balancing for the resource lands that we talked about previously, trying to protect those resource lands. So essentially this requires in A that when the development comes in, they sort of identify the areas that are near their proposal that have agroforest designations, pretty simple. And then B is looking at the uses nearby that are in some sort of agricultural or forest activity. C is just identifying what potential impacts there might be, and then D is what they're proposing to mitigate for those impacts. The SEPA requirements have similar language where you have to identify if there's going to be any impacts and how those will be addressed.
What is near? 100 feet, 1,000 feet?
Well, we just defined adjacent as a mile. I don't know. That's what's in the bill, right? I don't know.
So
it's close. Well, I guess what it would depend on what's the range of the impact. I mean, how far are the potential impacts from a business?
Well, if there's everybody that comes to an application will say hardly anything at all, and everybody opposed to it will say miles and miles.
If there's a new business and say there's emissions from the site, they'd have to go to the Clean Air Agency.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I'm sure, much experience on how far those impacts would be or what a radius or containment area are. It would be something that the applicant would identify as where they think the impact might be. In staff reviewing
so
it, they would
be like a reasonable standard.
Short of having something specific.
Is language like this anywhere else in Clark County's code currently?
We don't have code like this anywhere.
So there's no other land use that has this type of hurdles overcome? Because there is land next to resource land currently.
Mm-hmm.
So what standard are they held to?
Well, so the it's either going to be other resource lands or rural residential land where there's likely not going to be many impacts. And there's what we have essentially is the nuisance ordinance, because what normally happens is people move in next to them and complain about the smells and the activities, the agricultural activities. So it's a little different.
But you just got through doing the whole rural industrial land bank, and all of that land is directly abutting resource land. So I'm curious what standard it was held to. I mean, that light blue is right up against the brown. So mm-hmm. What standard did you guys impose on that light blue that's next to resource land?
You see what I'm saying?
It's in the industrial land bank. That's what
I know. I'm saying is that language that this section 4,
mm-hmm.
did you include it in the rural industrial land bank, because it's up against resource land as well.
Right, and I think we didn't, but the
did not.
Right.
Yeah.
But the landscaping standards are in the rural industrial land bank essentially are the most stringent things that we have, the buffers, the setbacks. That's how we intended to do that. I think that's what was done with the rural industrial land bank.
I got a question. Last meeting we had railroad board, there was a
deal brought up if we were going to help the idea that because there's going to be some clear cutting out there by the DNR or the Forest Service in that area. And do you have any, I mean, by this thing, you'd have input on it, but they're probably, you couldn't force anything on the DNR or the deal. I mean, you're putting something in here to put restrictions without definition because you don't give a distance from the rural area and all that stuff. And you got somebody out there going to be clear cutting. So this is kind of
clear cutting.
Why you have it in there without better definition of what we're dealing with.
This is one of the charges that's in the bill that says you have to protect it. And the Rural Industrial Land Bank did not have this land, this charge in the law itself.
Where is that in the law, John?
Pardon?
Where is that in the law?
It says that you will protect adjacent land. Or
the law that you're referring to is the law that I quoted. It do not interfere with.
Yeah, I was going to, where'd you get the
language? That's the same law that applies to the border between that rural industrial land bank and the resource land. My question is, why are we raising the bar to such a high level as compared to what they just got done doing a few years ago? I don't get it. It's the same law. The RCW didn't change. So to me, it's asking for trouble. It's vague, and it's...
Well, yeah, you're starting out by saying it's conserve, maintain, and enhance natural resources, but the law says that you shall assure the adjacent lands is continued use. I mean, you don't conserve and enhance, you just maintain it. I mean, your lead-in says conserve and enhance. Enhance has an element of making it better.
Right, and that's in the statute for resource lands. That's what...
Where?
In the resource lands?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Okay.
I don't see it. It's 36.70A.060. Isn't that the one? If there's another one, because that's why I asked you about that in the email. I was curious, and I don't find it in the RCW.
Right. And the conversation we had was about what the county's policies that adopted that minimize, I think your question was about minimizing impacts. And that's what we have adopted to implement what's in the statute. Because what's in the statute, we have to come up with policies and development regulations, right? And so that's what we've done, and that's how we got
where,
to this.
Where in the RCWs is this language contained?
I'm not sure.
I don't think it is my point.
That's fine. Come up with something else, that's my point.
In the bill, it says that one of the measures governing rural development will be protecting against conflicts with the use of agricultural, forest, and mineral resource lands.
It doesn't say enhance, though.
Pardon?
It doesn't say enhance. That's a whole different thing.
Are we saying enhance?
What he has written down says enhance.
Where did you find that, John? Which particular section? Curious, because I tried to research this.
Under four, he has enhanced the word enhance in there.
Four C.
No, what you just read from. I'm sorry.
Four
that's
C
the bill.
Five.
That's the bill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read that again for me, John. Do you mind?
Pardon?
Did you mind reading that again?
Oh, let me find it again. It's on the bill. It's on page 10, and it is section 4, number 4. C5.
Of the bill.
Of the bill.
Can I find this? I'm looking for this. If you find something.
Does it say?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's under rural development. That's not under 5517. That's a whole different section of the law.
They only modified two sections.
That wasn't one that was modified by 5517, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's not.
It's not underlined. But that's what it says.
No, but it's this was not changed by 5517. It's confusing, but I understand your saying. That's under rural development. That's a different section of the law, which applied back when they did the industrial land bank, which is my point. Why is the standard so different?
Right. Well, without spending too much time as to why, let me rephrase. Staff is
Can't wait.
It is indeed. Let's look at it this way. Do we as a group feel that we should have something in here that says that a developer will protect, will at least not conflict with the resource lands? Is that something we want to put in here? In other words, do we want to address this issue? And yeah, I was going to go there in a second.
It's right out of the RCW. Applicant, well, the RCW says such regulations, which is what we're doing here, shall assure that the use of lands adjacent to agriculture, forest, and mineral resource lands shall not interfere with the continued use, basically. So it's the same law that was in place when they put the light blue next to the resource land. And I'm just saying, why not mold it to the same standard? I don't know why we're raising the bar so incredibly high for this.
So Eric has, it sounds like you lifted the RCWs on page 3 of his stuff. Item number 4, he put in his own version, which he's getting at the same idea, I think, as staff. But under staff's proposal, you've got it's more of a SEPA-esque. All right.
Well, here's the SEPA language. It's proposed measures to ensure the proposal is compatible with nearby agricultural and forest lands of long-term commercial significance, if any.
Yeah, it's compatible. It doesn't say enhance.
When you start enhance, you open a can of worms.
It doesn't say conserve and enhance. Yes.
Right. So under A, B, C, and D, that's what's going to be drive. That's what we're going to be looking at. We can take enhance out. We can modify for the beginning, but really the crux of the issue is A, B, C, and D. Do you have any concerns with A, B, C, and D?
I like D, because in Eric's it says that they shall not interfere, and in Jose's it says they'll identify the potential impacts and measures will be taken by the proposed developer to reduce or control those adverse impacts. So Eric says you will not interfere at all, and Jose's is a little bit easier than that.
That's not no. Eric. It's cut and paste out of the state law.
Yeah, so I think...
Shall not interfere.
It's not my language. It's the governor and the legislators. State, it's straight cut and paste. Did I cut and paste it accurately?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's think about this from a different perspective. What would your objection be to the way he did it? Or do you have one?
I think it might just be clear of what you have to do as an applicant. Yeah, and it seems like it's closer to what the SEPA is asking of you.
I'd like clarification. You guys just did the industrial land bank, which is abutting resource land, and you did not have the standard. Why are we creating this standard when you didn't just a few years ago? That's all. That's my question. Why are we raising the bar so much higher for FRDU than we did for land bank?
I don't know that we're raising the standard. Well, I mean, this,
when you say
this
conserve
isn't...
conserve and enhance, that's raising the standard.
That's... What's under the again, under the four items, A, B, C, and D, is essentially... That's how we're getting at number four. You have to identify the land that's resource, where it's being farmed. If you're going to have any impacts, how you're going to mitigate them. That's it.
That's fine, but don't put enhance because that means improve.
Okay, so let's just agree that we'll take the word enhance out. That's fine. I don't think anybody really cares about that first sentence. So, actually, we could entirely take that, strike that first sentence. So with that stricken, how are we doing?
I don't like it. If I had a vote, would vote against it. I would keep the state law the way it is and treat it the exact same way we did the land bank land. But having said that, I'm going to go catch my flight, and I would okay. allow my alternate to step up, who is intimately familiar with this.
All right. Thank you, Eric.
I would agree with Eric's statement.
Such so, a plane.
Yeah.
we put the exact language in there that came out of the coup.
Is that
as opposed to reinventing something else?
This is shall not interfere. If a guy has cows next door and your equipment can make the noise and he thinks that's going to make his cows give less milk, this doesn't give it, airport doesn't give you the ability to mitigate.
Well, and that's kind of where Jose was going is, have a good night. Jose was trying to make a clearer process with his paragraph than what the state's paragraph would have given you. I think everybody is here is dancing around the same basic issue. It's just how do we want to...
So if we take the first sentence out, I guess I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Kent, Lloyd, Brittany,
yeah.
Just take out the first sentence
yeah.
and call it good.
First sentence of the introduction, item four.
All right, so I think that's where the group is we're just taking out that first introductory sentence on number four,
yeah.
and then just move on.
So, yeah, the next item is under street standards, A, it's just adding... in the transportation section, it's 4350.030. There's no, it's broken into different categories, and so if you want to have this industrial type of use, it would make sense to have the commercial and industrial road standards apply if a road's needed.
What is the standard?
The width of the road, whether they're sidewalks, the
I'm thinking like an industrial area, maybe we could differentiate between the public roads and the private roads. Public roads should have, if you want sidewalks and curbs going into the parking lot, but like on a concrete plant, the area between the roads, you put your stockpiles and you have loaders running back and forth, so you can't have curbs on the side of the road.
Talking on the right of way, not
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we wouldn't be, if that's your own,
this is
public.
Just in public right of way.
Correct.
Yep.
Cool.
You not get the thing from Eric that said that Chris Cook said you would not be required to put roads in?
That you would not be required to put roads in. So if we don't do this, then whatever the underlying zoning, the ag, rural five, that's the road standard that would apply.
So if you're going to build a road on the county right-of-way, this is the road you got to build.
That's the
well,
type of
I think
road
this
too.
Would also require upgrades to the existing road. If you're doing a major development,
right.
This would require that you upgrade the road in front of your development to standards. Everybody all right with it?
Sweet.
Are we simplifying or no?
Yep.
No?
You're keeping it consistent with other code.
That's important.
Whether it's simpler or not, that's always a debate.
But we are keeping with other code.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so the next is the landscaping standard. Under 19, this is the Railroad Industrial Landscaping Standard, number 6. And then I included what the Rural Industrial Land Bank landscaping standards are, number 7, just so that you could have both. I think at a previous meeting, it seemed like there was some interest in using the Railroad Industrial Standard and then maybe taking some of the landscaping standards from the Rural Industrial Land Bank. I think it was B. The opaque screen, I think there was some concerns with the 100-foot perimeter setback. And the way that's written, it's for the Rural Industrial Land Bank, it contemplated one large or two large sites where you could have that large type of perimeter screening in this overlay.
We're going to farm the setbacks.
Right. With this overlay, whether you have more potential for more sites, I don't know that that necessarily, I don't know that that makes sense, having a perimeter, because there is no defined perimeter
and just
in the overlay.
For reference, with if you look back at Eric's stuff, he took Railroad Industrial, that paragraph A, and then from the land bank, he took the evergreen trees and deciduous and new landscaping material. I don't see the new landscaping material. Where did that come from?
And he eliminated the A, right?
Yeah, so he didn't bother with the opaque screen or deciduous trees or whatnot. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we gone past number 6?
This is all part of the same
okay.
thing.
Yeah.
All
right, good.
So
and we're saying take out A? You're saying it doesn't
which
apply?
Which A?
Well, the way it's, because the way it's written, it's on the perimeter of the Rural Industrial Land Bank.
Right.
And since we're not going to have anything like that with the freight rail overlay, there's not going to be one large parcel that you can screen. I don't know that it makes sense to keep that with the perimeter.
So we're talking 7A that we're saying.
Yeah, 7A right. We're taking out.
Yeah.
I would agree.
All right, and leaving in 7B.
B and C.
Taking out, well, at least Eric took out 7C and D and E, it looks like. I'm not sure what this
is. With a new C.
With a new C. So that's a new idea there. So I guess to move this forward, do we think 7C or D is all that important?
C and D.
Well, that's certainly micromanaging. They've got to be 1 inch at the time of planting.
Well, what he captures is basically item 3, D3, which is landscaping materials need to be Pacific Northwest, without getting into the specificity of 4-inch pots or
right,
1-gallon pots. You know, he basically says E1 through 4, but in a slightly different manner.
Is that specificity already in our landscaping standards? Or
the landscaping standards do prescribe certain sizes, I mean, that apply to all developments, do have certain sizes at planting.
Mm-hmm.
One is to, if it's for screening purposes, to make sure that it's large enough to do some screening. It has to be within 3 years. It has to reach a certain level of screening. But, yeah, we do have, off the top of my head, I don't know if these are the exact standards, but the landscape code does specify that at planting,
and
it has
that,
to be certain size and caliber.
And that's going to apply regardless of what we
correct.
Say.
Correct.
So really keeping it simple on our end makes a lot of sense.
And the language that he takes out is mostly the ground cover type language, not the,
right.
the screening language.
Right. And the ground cover generally is oftentimes either grass or bark dust or sometimes it's plant material. I mean, it's not...
Right. It's not the stuff that...
Right.
The I think the one difference I did note was in B, under Eric's, the tree height went from a minimum of 8 to 4. And I didn't know if that was intentional or a typo or...
I would say it's intentional. You ever try planting an 8-foot-high tree on top of a berm? That's a mess.
But
for two reasons. One, they have such a big root system, and usually on top of a berm, you're not that high.
And that's
they
a
die
time.
A lot. If you have put in a smaller tree, give it a season to grow, get its roots in there, then you have better success with the trees. But if there's a standard for the county, what happens if we just use Eric's number 6 and A, and that's it?
I think, I think we need B.
Pardon?
We would need B. I don't think the B is included in our standard landscaping.
Oh, I thought we just said there is a standard that whether we say anything or not, we're going to have to meet.
No, that's for like ground cover and shrubs, but the standard for is
please correct.
Evergreen trees are not.
Evergreen trees are not specifically.
Right.
The landscape standards will say generally one tree for every 30 foot. It doesn't specify that it be a type of tree because oftentimes it's meant to be a cover over an area or whatnot. It doesn't specify. Unless it's something says specifically that it needs to be screening, then we take a look at it to make sure that deciduous trees aren't what they're proposing because that doesn't provide screening year-round. So in some of the land use codes, the buffer requirements will say that you need the trees plus a hedge to provide that screening. To be honest with you, I don't recall what the L3 and the L5 are specifically as far as screening materials and
so if
and
we
whatnot.
Just leave it at L3 or L5 and forget about the rest of that? Is it?
You could potentially end up with just tree cover rather than this evergreens that provide the screening.
So really, I think...
So A and B.
What we're leaning toward is just take... Eric's suggestion on this one, and it pretty well covers.
You'll have better success with smaller trees.
Yep.
Plus there's calling other folks.
So y'all are good with that?
Yep.
Yep.
Sweet. That was too hard. Do you want to go any further, or we?
I think we're at the end.
I think we're at the end, too.
Hey! Woo!
All right, wrap up. So there is a meeting on, when's our council meeting?
Next Wednesday at 11 a.m. in this room.
For those of you who are gluttons for punishment, I encourage you to attend. And then we have one more committee meeting on the 20-something.
20th. 20th, yes.
Which should hopefully just be, at this point, a review, wrap-up, check-in on whether there's any last-minute changes you want to make.
Well, obviously we'll have to take into account the counselor's commentary.
Yeah, which actually isn't a bad deal.
Is our 11 o'clock meeting in here, is that we're right here? Okay.
Unless they move it, but...
Pardon?
Unless they move it...
All right, I think we're adjourned. Thank you all.
Yeah, I guess so.
Great job, John.
Yeah.